Good evening. It's me, the Monk. Have you ever listened to Trash Taste and thought, that doesn't seem too hard, I can do that? Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
Am I going like crazy, or has like the internet gotten like the worst in like the past 5 years? Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy at all.
I feel like it's gotten significantly worse. Not the whole internet, but the way, as in like the level of like fucked up shit. There was a lot of messed up stuff, yeah. You know, 5-6 years ago, whatever. But like, I feel like now it's all just out there.
It's just so normal. Interesting how it's like almost like an opposite effect that's happening. Like for some reason, even though the internet or the internet culture and people on the internet in the past 5-6 years have gotten more PC than ever before. And yet, like almost counterintuitively, there's more fucked up shit that has like come out onto the surface as well.
I think that's why.
I see shit now on like regular Twitter and Instagram that, you know, you'd only ever find on like the fucking B-board.
Yeah.
Weird, man. Cause you're just like, am I weird for being like middle ground on everything? Like, I feel like I have very normal opinions on things.
Yeah.
But the more I'm online, I'm like, am I not normal? Do I have not normal opinions?
Yeah. Like, what is a normal opinion anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like being fair. Yeah. I'm like, I don't really have heavy opinions on, well, I see other people, I'm like, oh my God.
I mean,
common sense has definitely become less common. That's for sure.
I know, it's weird. Yeah.
I don't know what's common sense anymore.
Yeah, it does feel like, is this the point where, you know, where the older generation starts talking about shit talking the newer generation? You know what I mean?
That's, like these damn kids?
Yeah, because I'm looking like,
I think it's the opposite. I think it's because the internet in general has become more accessible to every age group that are seeing all of this. Because before it was just like 20-year-olds who gave enough fuck to go on
Facebook. Like social media. Yeah.
And I felt that it was a very exciting time and everyone was like really into it. And, you know, and the new websites like popped
the
up.
The new hip thing.
Yeah, Miniclip was still thriving, you know. Farmville was still going strong. Mafia City. I'm just going to keep naming it.
The good old days, but, man.
I feel like now, because it's become so normalized and everyone uses it. Everyone, yeah. Right?
Like, do you remember a point where it felt like there was a separation between what you did on the internet and what happened in real life?
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like when that barrier kind of got broken, where you felt like what happened in the internet was pertaining to like how can I say this? Because like internet is real life, but it didn't feel so like suffocating.
Yeah,
you know, it didn't feel like it had a tangible effect on on your day to day life. But now it feels like whatever's going on in the internet, whatever's going on in the world, has this tangible effect. The tangible effect on what's going on in, you know, what you're doing.
You literally
every day.
Just explained the plot to Serial Experiments Lane. Like that's
what
that is.
Wait, so what's the time you think it is? I'm curious if you have the same opinion on this.
What you
said the time when it felt like that became.
The time when it felt like it became like
I
that?
Feel it I depends on how know. Long you've been on the internet, right? Like did you ever do like MySpace?
No, I came right after MySpace.
Did you do MySpace?
Did you have Bebo?
I had Bebo.
I did.
That was very popular in the UK.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Would you say like the Bebo and MySpace era, right? It's like roughly the same time, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you were on Bebo and when people on MySpace were on MySpace, did you see that as like, this is me like completely tangible
it's a
to
game.
Real life?
Social media is a game.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like how I go into Sims and I make myself look attractive.
I think,
Sims.
Yeah, because like that's how I kind of treated MySpace as well at the time, right? It's like a social game, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I think what really the first time I really thought of social media as a game was actually Charlie Brooker. Do you know Charlie Brooker? He wrote Black Mirror.
Yeah.
So like a few years ago, or maybe even a decade ago, I can't even remember how old this video is. He did like a top 50 most influential games of like all time. Mm. And like number one was Twitter. Like the, like, and I was just like, what are you talking about, Charlie Brooker? Because before that, he talked about, you know, games like
that's not a game,
Last of Us, fucking Tetris, you know, all these games, and he was just like, well, think about it. You play as an avatar on an online platform where you gain points for interacting with the game, and I'm just like, yeah, I mean, he's very right. He's like, social media at this point is a game, and we are all like. The game now is our job. Mm. You know, it is our job because
we're falling right into the system.
We are part of the system, guys.
Damn it.
We can't criticize the system because we are the system.
We are the system.
We are part of the system. But that is definitely how social media has become. And I mean, like, in a way, like, I see, especially like YouTube and stuff, as like a kind of like a game. I mean, it's been gamified to fuck. Mm. You post a video.
It is game.
You post a video and it even puts you on a leaderboard on like how well it's performed in like the past 10 uploads you've done.
But the game, the stakes to it or whatever you give it.
Yeah.
You know, like a game is, it's the same with anything, right? Like it, you know, fucking Jump King, whatever it is. It's the game
it's
only
been
means-
been 0 days.
The game only means whatever you assign to it.
Yeah.
Right. So if you, with the videos, right, if you're making these videos for the purpose of cracking that 1 out of 10, then yeah. But if you're just making the video because you want to make a video,
I think I when though, I when you, it's a game. Yeah, like when you get to that point, it's like you're kind of testing the limits on what you can call a game, right? Like, you know, is the stock market a game? Some people will say yes. Some people say yes, some people say no.
It's roulette with extra steps. It's roulette.
It's roulette with massive repercussions.
Yeah. It's roulette where there's a really, really boring option that will probably pay you back, or you can spin the wheel.
Yeah.
Spin the wheel.
Ooh,
Dogecoin. You know, come on. I mean,
it's like Deal or No Deal, but it's actually serious.
Yeah.
I felt like I don't know when the internet started to become very, very real, if you will.
Yeah.
But it definitely jacked up to 100 at 2016. I think that was when it definitely like.
What about 2016?
Presidential election.
Huh?
First presidential, Trump's presidential election. I feel like that's when it just went boom.
I don't know when the
split went like crazy. I felt like the left-leaning internet, right-leaning internet just went really full on.
I feel like
I think it might be earlier, and it's just we weren't really aware of it.
I'm saying
it might not have started then, but that's when the dial went like fucking 500.
Yeah.
You know when it was?
What?
It was when YouTube Rewind started becoming shit.
Okay, tell me your theory. Tell me your theory.
I don't know because
so
like,
was that like 2014?
I'm just thinking when
everything on the internet stopped being universally loved.
When we start like being segmented, I guess. I'm just tried to verbalize how I felt, and I'm just like, kind of feels around the same time that I stopped giving a shit about YouTube Rewind.
Yeah.
So that kind of feels like it was 2014, 2013, maybe
something like that.
Very early on when the internet stopped being like one conglomeration and and you see things happening and you just didn't recognize who this person was, who that person was. People stopped getting along, and you know, factions and groups started to form. And
but that's why it took something like the presidential election, which is like the most televised horse race in existence, if you will. It's like, it's so, you know, because other countries, we don't, you know, the UK, it's like, we have this whole thing about who the new prime minister is going to be, but
yeah.
We don't nearly like make it as exciting, you know, as America does. America's so good at making hype.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like it was the perfect event that was so polarizing and so well telegraphed with so much information and so many parties putting stuff into it.
I think
regardless of your opinion on it,
and who you
voted for, I don't give a shit. I'm just saying you can't ignore the fact that this was a thing that just really took the internet and just fucking ran with it.
I think it's also around the time roughly when like a lot of social media sites were like just where that kind of discussion was just becoming more open. Like that was roughly around the time where like Twitter increased their like character limit.
Yeah,
right? So people, you know, could only tweet about like, yay, Obama won. And that was it. And now it was like, let me write a full fucking novel about how I feel about this presidential election.
And then, you know, this is when they also asked, after that is when the platform started having to correct misinformation.
Yeah.
And that further. caused more of a divide. And then now there's just different platforms for different opposing views. So now you don't even get to hear the other side. You're in an echo chamber.
Yeah, I feel like what was so prevalent about just not just the presidential election, but just that year in general, was that it felt like that was the real turning point for where social media kind of felt just like a TV show. It was like a part of entertainment, right? Where
the presidential election is the best rated TV show of all time, I'd probably say. Everyone tunes in to watch the next episode.
Yeah, I mean, like, it even had like a build-up season, which was Brexit, right? We had like the mid-season.
Was that the pilot episode?
No, that was the mid-season twist, right? We had the mid-season twist and we're like, guys, this show can't get any better. Like, there's no possible way they can surprise me. But jokes on you. Okay.
You'll never expect what comes next.
Just fucking look, right? Look at how they decide the nominee for the presidential thing. Look at that shit. It's laid out like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Have you seen them all? They're in this semicircle with all this amazing fucking TV show-esque Britain's Got Talent background, and they all take turns, a massive audience and shit. What is this shit?
Yeah.
Like, what? Who gives a shit? Let the party pick, and then we'll fucking decide who wins. This whole thing is so reality TV show-esque. Yeah. It's so bizarre. Like, when you sit down and you're like, what am I watching? Like, this is fucked up.
Yeah. Like, okay, here's a question. Do you think that people cared about politics as much before and we were just like too ignorant because we were like too young at the time? Or do you think people care more now because of the prevalence of social media and just so many people verbalizing their opinions and their political views?
I don't think it has to do with the amount of people caring. I think it just has to do with how much we are just exposed to it now.
Yeah, so I think one of the main things here is that you have to bear in mind as well that I think like with the internet, this is just given everyone the platform.
Before,
if you wanted to get support as a politician, you had to go on like a TV show and say something, right?
Yeah.
So you only had like what? Like,
or if you're in Japan, you blare out of a fucking megaphone in the street, annoyingly.
So like now it's like, okay, so you have like the kind of perfect storm of like, now there's more ways to discuss. Everyone's on the internet. Now even 40, 50-year-olds are on the internet, so they're willing to listen to you.
Yeah.
Combine that with the fact that it's become really easy to give politics a kind of tribalism with nothing to do with it, right? So the whole vaccination thing or whatever and all that nonsense, not vaccines and nonsense, but the whole argument around it, it very quickly stopped becoming about the science and more just about like, which horse are you backing?
Yeah. Right?
So I feel like now
it's
gotten really easy to just assign identities to certain political views.
Yeah.
And this is how politicians have realized that they can push their agenda. It's by just giving it like, are you a real American? Then you'll believe in this, right? It's like, how about you just, if you push, it used to be before, I felt like it was just about more so, it was like, this is the policy, this is what we're going to do. And now it's like, all right, we have to give everything a meaning. You're either with us or you're not. Here's the meaning between it and all that kind of shit. I could explain this better if I was more eloquent with my words, but unfortunately that isn't the case.
I mean, they did that subtly with the whole Ebola crisis, right? Like that was the exact same thing. Like it suddenly became like, are you with us or are you not with us? Well, do you care about these people? Then you should be with me. It's like, but it's got nothing to do with anything.
In what case, sorry, with the Ebola stuff? Like what do you mean?
Well, like it very quickly became like, especially in America, became like a political drive, right? Mm-hmm. For like the campaigns and whatnot. And it's just like, well.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And then when the actual election finished, everyone stopped talking about it because it's as if it had nothing to do with the American elections.
Yeah, because I think it's much easier instead of proving yourself right to prove the other person wrong.
Oh yeah.
By proving the other person wrong, you're in a sense proving yourself right, even though that's not how it works at all. You know, like when did like Ben Shapiro start owning people with facts and logics? Right, because I feel like that's when it started. You know,
around the same time, I believe.
Like,
probably around
the same time. When it wasn't about being involved in politics, it was just like, you know, you start off watching someone else just like owning other people when they're like logistical, like logical arguments or whatever. Yeah. You know, it became part of entertainment.
It was like what's this guy? The prove me wrong guy.
Oh,
Stephen Crowder.
Yeah, Stephen Crowder, right? As well. Just like fucking exploded out of nowhere too.
It's weird how seeing these waves come up. First, it's just like, you know, you have the group that proves the other group wrong. And then after a while, people get bored of that. And then it's like people proving that group wrong. And it's a constant ping pong fucking match.
As well, you know, there's it's information on a lot of things is always way more nuanced than people want to get into, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, if you just take one correct argument or one correct fact about a flawed argument, right?
Yeah.
You can just run with that and push that and say like, look, this is right. Even though in context, it might be incorrect, but you can just keep running with something that you know that you can parrot and is safe to do so.
Yeah.
And even then, even if you're wrong, it doesn't matter. Because as we've learned is that if you're a narcissist and you're willing to not give a fuck if people are trying to cancel you, people have learned that canceling only does shit if you give a fuck.
Yeah.
And people are being rewarded in mass. And a lot of those people like that who, even though they get shit wrong, as long as they don't give a fuck and they just make something new or don't mention it and just continue on, it doesn't matter. You get what you want. You get your platform. You can continue. You can get new followers. Yeah. Oh, you lost a few hundred followers? Oh, you'll get a new 1,000. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's never been more of a time when I've realized that, you know, bad press or bad, like there is no such thing as bad.
Yeah. Bad press.
Yeah,
because it's as bad as you give a shit. And the thing is, as well, as a lot of people have realized, and a lot of you see this on YouTube as well, influencers, it's as bad as you let it seem it is as well.
Yeah.
So if you're like, you know, that's why a lot of the scandals around the presidential election that happened in 2016, a lot of them, because if the guy who you're supporting is like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Then maybe you'll be like, oh, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah. You know, like there is a kind of it's as bad as they let it seem, right?
Yeah,
if you address
it,
be like, I don't give a fuck, or you don't even bother to address it, then you know.
I think you're right in a sense, and I feel like even more so was when it was like when Trump got elected, like, you know, regardless of your opinion, you know, of him as a president. Mm. For me, as an outsider who is, you know, not any part of American politics, it was almost like watching a character in a show. You know, like going on your Twitter timeline and seeing some of the stuff that he tweeted.
Like a cartoon villain.
Yeah.
Like, remember like the whole COVFIF shit? Yeah. Yeah. That shit was like, I don't care where you lie in the political spectrum. I think we can all unanimously agree that COVFIF was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And yeah, it kind of like, well, I don't know what the right word is, but it kind of like cartoonified shit.
Yeah.
It kind of cartoonified your real life and, you know, the world events, even though there is, you know, even though these were real prevalent issues and these had a real tangible,
there's nothing cartoony about it.
These had a real tangible effect on the world. I feel like, especially a lot of the younger generation who, you know, who have grown up in the age of the internet, that's kind of like the environment they've grown into, you know, where everything, when it's seen through a phone or through, you know, through a tablet, they just like,
it's suddenly not real.
Well, yeah, because we were like, what, 20 plus when all this started happening? Oh, no, yeah, 20, yeah, maybe just 9, I was like 19. But like, I couldn't imagine going from like 12 to like 18.
Yeah.
And this has been your like entire memory.
This is weird.
Like, it's really bizarre.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And you know, we don't really talk about it on the podcast or political views or our political opinions because I, at the most part, I don't give a fuck what you believe in.
Exactly.
I have my own opinions, but I'm also not, I'm not like, I don't think I'm some kind of benevolent man who knows all.
Yeah.
Right? I know that I probably have come to conclusions on things through flawed, like, thinking methodology, whatever the fuck you say, just because of how I've been raised, right? And you've been raised whatever way you have. And if you disagree with me on things, I don't give a fuck how you came to that conclusion. I'm not going to judge you.
Because
I feel like one of the biggest problems that's come out of all this is that everyone's calling each other stupid for believing in something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sure you have a reason. If we just spoke to each other normally and didn't polarize each other all the fucking time, we might have a conversation.
Just to, you know, agree to disagree, right? And it's like, we're not here to fucking, like, you know, dangle a fucking carrot in front of your face, being like, believe us because we hold the truth. And it's like, no one does.
It sucks as well, because obviously with the whole coronavirus stuff and that all got politicized. Of course it did. That unfortunately came at the cost of people's lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people who felt they were right felt so strongly they were right because they thought, that, you know, they're like, yeah, we have to protect people. And that's fair enough. But it's kind of difficult to convince people when you're calling them stupid.
Yeah.
It's been shown that it just doesn't work.
No.
I mean, I think another big massive thing with the age of the internet. It's just like the fucking overload of information, yeah. right? Yeah. Where it's like, I remember a point where you know, read something in a book or read a newspaper or something, yeah. and you know, you'd kind of like educate yourself. But it yeah. feels like there is just so much information right now that yeah. I don't even know what information is the right information to educate myself.
Right.
So many times I look at something online and I think like, oh man, this is mm-hmm. kind of interesting piece of information. Mm-hmm. Couple of hours later, I found out it's total bullshit.
Welcome.
Like, it's like, what the fuck?
Welcome to real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, it's every time. I'm just like, so how? It's so true
where sometimes you hear about a story or yeah. an event and you're like, fuck man, that fucking sucks.
Like,
and
you like, get like- Yeah, I get told by like five or six different mm-hmm, people being yeah. like, have you seen this thing? And I'm like, well, fuck, if there's five or six people around me that yeah. I know
yeah.
and I understand,
yeah.
Who's telling me that this is happening, then it must be true. And I'm like, turns out, nope, all bullshit.
When you were a kid, right? Did you think that people were stupid? Like you think that you're like too smart.
In what context?
Just in general. Like as a kid, I was one of those little kids that just thought like, in school, I think I half the reason why I was angry half the time. Right. Because I thought like, this is so dumb. I'm smarter than all this. Right?
I can't even remember. I just wanted to play video games. I didn't really give a shit.
I didn't feel that strongly about things.
And so I was like, I thought as a kid, I just thought I was smarter than people around me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
I think everyone had that phase though.
Right. But I think people don't grow out. Some people don't grow
yeah,
out.
Yeah, some people grow,
right?
don't grow out of it, obviously, yeah.
Because, and it's really interesting, because I was just scrolling on Reddit,
yeah.
God forbid, and I saw this, and it was like a post where I was like, I think everyone else is dumb, and it's infuriating having to talk to people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was really interesting seeing how people were trying to reply to this and kind of like break it down.
Right.
And ultimately, and I think this is really good, and I think that everyone should keep this in mind, because I feel that we judge people based on how they speak, not how their level of intelligence is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like this definitely happens on the podcast. I've seen it in the comment section where we might have a bad take or we might badly explain something.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, Connor's dumb or Jerry's dumb. Yeah. Gant's dumb. He couldn't explain this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so hard to grasp. We only can interact with people based on the things they say, right?
Yeah.
Not how they think. Because you're probably thinking about things way deeper than you could ever explain
about
it, right? And it's so hard to get that out of your head when someone's talking to you, because you have to, you only have that to work
on. I mean,
off, right?
It's a skill, and that's why like I have trouble properly expressing myself unless it's written down, which is why I script.
Right.
Because, which we can't do on the podcast.
Which we can't do on the podcast, unfortunately, but like, or we can't like edit it either. Mm. So like, that's why like, I know for a fact that I express myself best in like text form or like written form.
When but it's, like, but also on the podcast, down. I think you're quite eloquent with the way you word things. Yeah, and I think
so. I mean, I've had some pretty shit takes.
Oh, me too. Me too.
We all have.
Just because I was like, there has been several points where I look at myself arguing an argument and I'm just like, I'm a fucking clown.
Well,
I deserve to be fucking clowned on.
True bro moment.
That's been a thing in the Trash Tate's comments. It's been like, it's a normal thing where they'll be like, I get what Connor's saying, but he explained it badly.
Yeah.
And I will admit, I'm extremely guilty of that. I do that a lot. And there are a lot of things that I try to explain, but in the moment, it's just hard to get the words because we don't come into this. It's not a debate. Yeah. We don't script this shit. We just turn up.
We don't.
It's like, I get what you mean, but you probably should have double checked this.
Yeah. Like, you know, like the whole, food illness thing. It's like, if you gave me 20 minutes in a room alone and I could write, I could probably prepare a decent argument.
Yeah.
However, I don't.
Exactly. If you gave me time to put it in an essay form,
also,
I'm sure I could tell
but
you.
But also,
this
is how real life is. And it's weird because I feel like when I watch people as well speak, and again, this is going back to how just general life, again, this ties into the previous topics with the online, right? How we respond to people who have, or it might be, have bad opinions on things, or what we observe to be bad opinions. It's like, it's so hard in this current climate online to just give people the benefit of the doubt and just be like, I think you mean well, and I don't think like this opinion you have that could be hurting people, I don't think you genuinely want to hurt people.
Yeah.
It could be like, you just have a bad, you just, you have been misinformed and you believe it. Yeah. You genuinely think this is helping people.
That's the problem though, is that like, I feel, you know, a lot of social media like Twitter, Reddit, stuff like that is like 99% emotionally driven.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, of
just humanity.
Yeah. That too. But also, you know, a lot of people like to think that like, oh, I see this massive post on, you know, massive comment replying to a certain shit take on Reddit. Right. Yeah, and they think like, oh, judging from the length of this whole thing, this must be a very well thought, well written argument. 90% of the time, no, it's emotional drivel. But that's unfortunately how the nature of a lot of these internet arguments work, right?
It's so depressing. You're just like, even when you go on the Reddit, I'm like, look at it. And it's just someone will say something that's a bit incorrect and it will just immediately turn into like argument. Instantly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I was like, why do you want to do this?
It's like no one's fucking citing their sources these kinds of comment sections. It's all emotional.
Yeah, I mean, like that's just how humans are, like always. And that's why I don't normally try to get involved on like a platform like Twitter, because like, do you think anyone's ever changed their fucking mind from like a single tweet or like a Twitter discussion? No. I can't see it happening.
I'd love to meet someone who's like, you know, I thought about this thing, but then I saw, you know, XXX noob killer XX tweet that. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? You're right, bro. Opinion changed.
Yeah.
Just,
you know,
like that.
Yeah, I've seen threads that maybe, you know, we'll just agree to disagree, you know, threads that you open up that will like show all replies and you just keep scrolling down. And it just never ends.
The only time I see people civilized on the internet and always being really respectful of each other is when they're talking about porn.
Yeah.
That's the only time.
Yes.
People are so fucking polite to each other when they're talking about porn. And they're so helpful and everyone's so helpful about it. But the moment it's anything else, it's like they start going at the throat.
It's the image of like all the board members at the round table, right?
I don't think that's a very good example right now. But I mean, it's literally very civilized.
Yeah. I just love as well the ones that are like, you know, going back to the whole like agreeing to disagree thing. Like I've seen so many Twitter replies of like how one side of the argument tries to, you know, start that whole conclusion up being like, you know what, let's agree to disagree. But 90% of the time, the other party's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
We're not ending it here. I'm not going to agree or disagree. Fuck you. How dare you?
You know this, that people feel, for some reason, feel safe discussing their opinions about porn and hentai and whatever. Because on some of these Discord servers where they talk about hentai, people use their real fucking pictures as their profile pictures. That's how safe they feel talking. What the fuck?
That's the real safe space. That is the real safe space, man.
What?
It's like, I mean,
that is bold.
It's like, I'm into NTR. Let's agree to disagree. Shake hands.
It's like Steven with his actual profile picture. It's like, what? What?
This episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer.
Guys, let's not pretend that we don't all shop online, right?
Of course we do.
But don't you wish you had a promo code ready for you always when you're at the checkout?
Yes.
Well, thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart every time you shop online.
How does it work, Connor?
Imagine it. You're shopping on one of your favorite sites.
Yeah.
When you're at the checkout, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons.
That's all.
Wait a few seconds. As Honey searches for coupons, it can find for that site. Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. It's that easy. And recently, I just bought a microphone to upgrade my setup, and Honey saved me $15 on a brand new microphone.
If you don't already have Honey, you can be straight up missing out on free savings. Ooh. Am I getting it? You'll be doing yourself a solid and also supporting us as well.
I'd never recommend something I don't use. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/trashtaste. That's joinhoney.com/trashtaste. Links in the description below.
Back to the episode.
Why is it that like the porn community on Twitter is like some of the like chillest people?
The porn community in any community is the chillest people.
Isn't it fucked up that like a Pornhub comment section is more chill than like a YouTube comment section?
I feel like because to have to interact in that community, you have to have a level of self-awareness, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it comes from. It's like you're just so self-aware that you just don't give a fuck anymore. And that's when you're most zen.
Well, basically, it's a massive barrier of entry just to sign up an account to a porn site, right?
That's a level that I just haven't been able to take. Like, I just don't want to give my Gmail account.
Like, I just want to be at that morning where I'm like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, making a porn up account today.
This is the most trash taste segue ever, by the way. Can I say that? That we've gone from like very serious topics to signing up to a porn account. I don't know what kind of person is like, I need to just have my say in this. I gotta have my, I gotta make it known what I think about.
I feel like there's steps because I've never signed up for a Pornhub account, but I have for like hentai sites, right?
Right. You have?
Yeah. Because
I have, yeah.
Because sometimes you find like a lit hentai and you're like, I want to remember this because I'm going to forget the name
I will say that's
put it in the book box.
As a free-to-play user of the porn universe, I will say the most annoying thing is trying to find a video that I did enjoy.
Yeah. Because the problem is, you know, after you do the deed, you're not interested in it anymore. So you're like, I don't fucking need this anymore. And then it just goes out the recesses of your mind, and like fucking a week later, you're like, yo, what was that fucking A-class hentai that I found the other week?
There is a sobering moment when you're trying to type in the keywords to find the thing, and you're like, I'm disgusting. And you're just scrolling through these videos trying to find it. You're like, No, there's something wrong with me.
I've gone to the point where I've like anonymously gone into forums and asked.
No, have you actually? No, you haven't. What's your profile pic?
I'm not telling you. Do you know what anonymous
Joey
means?
It's got to be Joey. I want it to be. No one would ever expect the Joey to use his actual profile picture on the forum.
That's true.
But now everyone's going to use Joey.
Now everyone's going to use Joey.
Yeah, but it's like, because I was like, I didn't know anyone at the time, right? Yeah. And I was in the exact same situation where I was like, I just saw this thing, but it was on incognito. So I don't remember what it was called. All I remember is like what the girl looked like.
If you could log in, do you know the login information? Do you still use this account?
No, not anymore. I don't even think the website exists anymore.
Yeah, that is the one problem with incognito mode is that it doesn't give you a search history or like a history.
Like the moment the post not clarity hits and you close that window, you're like, shit, why did I do that? I can't go back now.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I was like, one time I remember it. I was like, I remember what the girl looked like and I remember like a certain scene. So I was just like, hey, I'm looking for this one series. These are the details, help appreciated. Immediately, like five people came back being like, I think it's this one. You should look it up. None of them were actually it, but I got great recommendations.
But you got some new recommendations along the way.
That's pretty close. What about
signing up for? Well, I guess it depends because in hentai and stuff, it's different, right?
Yeah.
Normal one, I don't know what would compel me to want to pay.
Well, like what do you mean? Oh, like a pay site?
I wouldn't want to give my fucking credit card to one of these sites. Dude, that feels like such a... You know when you hear about these... which one was it? Was it the New York guy who was running for mayor of New York?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Weiner, was it? Or something? No, there was somebody who got...
Anthony Weiner was the one with dick pics.
Though, yeah, that was it. There was someone else who was like... They were running for a political position and then it was found out they were spending like $5,000 a month on pornography or something. And I was like, mm-hmm. That's impressive. That he managed to find ways to spend $5,000.
No, that is impressive.
You're definitely not watching all of it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because how could you? I don't think one person is capable of watching that much porn.
How many OnlyFans was he like sub to?
Right, yeah, man, that's
fucked. The terabytes worth.
I think we spoke about this, right? Because I remember we spoke about that one YouTuber who had a porn addiction. And
Yes.
I don't remember who it was. I do remember, that sounds familiar.
It was like the most Chad YouTuber apology, not apology video.
Yeah.
Like, he was never accused of anything. He just came out, he's like, guys, I have a porn addiction, it's rough. And I was like,
It was like literally ruining Chad. His life, right?
It's one of those things that I always fucking say it's one of those things. God damn, I gotta stop saying that. Connor, this is a message to you, stop saying.
It's one of those
questions
things.
Questions to you,
it's
Connor.
It's literally a question to you. It's one of those things that people talk about people do not talk about enough.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. People don't want to give credit to it or talk about it because it's just really embarrassing. And
oh yeah, of course.
Don't give credit to how debilitating it can be to have that. If you have it, man, I hope you can get help. I hope you can get out of it. Mm. No shame to you, man.
It's because it's something that's just like, it doesn't seem like on the forefront of things you should be worried about.
Mm.
You can easily, it's easy to be able to justify to yourself, oh yeah, a gambling addiction. Of course that's bad, you know.
Because it ruins your life.
Or like an alcohol addiction. I'm just kind of destroying my body. I'm destroying all my relationships around me. Like a porn addiction, because like porn is so secretive anywhere. You don't really have anyone to talk to it about.
It's not an immediate threat, I think is the thing. Cause like, you know, you hear about, it's like, yeah, of course I watch porn. I'm an adult. Everyone does it. It's fine. You know, most people are living normal lives, you know, while watching porn. Yeah. And then, you know, you go down the rabbit hole deep enough and you realize, oh, it's actually fucked. Just as bad.
At which point do you like accept that it is an addiction and not just like a recreational activity that everyone does, you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's, I don't know.
Because when a game's too addicting, right?
Is it the hours spent consuming that medium, or is it the money spent consuming that medium, or is it both?
I don't know.
Is it when you can't think of anything other than porn?
Because no one wants to help people who are addicted to porn because they don't think it's like a thing.
Yeah, right? Because they're like, just stop watching it.
Just stop jacking off.
Just close your eyes. Just put your dick away. It's easy.
Yeah. I don't know, like, to me, like, I guess, I don't know what the actual definition of addiction is, but I guess when you should start being worried about it is when it has like, I guess like a tangible effect on maybe your life or in some way, shape, or form. But like, what is
affecting negatively?
Yeah, that's it. Like a tangible negative effect on your life or an aspect of your life. But then again, like, when does it become a negative effect? And when does it just become like, oh yeah, I just had a week binge drinking with the boys because we were like partying a week, you know? Like at which point does it become a negative effect? I don't know. I guess that's the hard thing about it. And it becomes,
I think it's when it's, I think in my opinion, I think it's when it's like it's consistently for a long period of time and it's consistently just adding on to a negative effect. I think that's when it becomes like a problematic addiction. Because like you can, like as you said, like you could have like a week binge of like drinking from morning till night with the boys, right?
Yeah.
But you're most likely not going to be drinking for a while after that, right? Yeah. Like that, I wouldn't count that as an addiction. Like that's like a short-term like binge.
That's just destroying your body.
Yeah, that's just destroying your body and having a good time with the boys, right? But like, you know, when it's like a constant amount every day or, you know, for a long period of time consistently and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse, I think that's when it's like, okay, you should probably seek help kind of thing. That, in my opinion, I don't know.
It's when you sign up to a Pornhub account.
It's when you're like, you know what? I need people to know how I feel about that blowjob scene. Like that, it was so good. I need upvotes on my Pornhub comment.
That's the one thing I don't understand. I understand like, the thing about Pornhub comments is that I understand people asking about like, say fucking Call of Duty tactics or like fucking how to get past this level. Rather than people actually commenting on the porn itself, like to me, for some reason, like I don't know why you would ever comment on like a porno, right? As it, like, because you're either like watching it and you're actively involved, or like I've never gotten to a point where I'm watching this, I'm just like, I want to verbalize what I think.
What
about.
Do people think about this?
what I think about this, you know.
My favorites are the ones that are just like, just so simple, like so innocent, being like, oh man, 1823, what a hot scene. I was like, yeah, I guess so. Like, good on. Thank you for sharing that.
I was that open. I wish I was that open.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
What, do you want to get to that point?
Who knows? Who knows, Joey? Who knows? Have you seen some of the fucking shit that Sydney's been tweeting? You know, like, I need to fucking calm her down sometimes.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if she had a Pornhub account.
At this point, I think it's just Twitter.
She's gone beyond.
Yeah, she's gone beyond, man.
No, it's like, why be anonymous when I can be known?
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Anyway, have you guys been up to anything this past week that's not been depressing? Or
I look completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to point that out. Like, I know we like brushed over that, but it's the friendship with Joey the Anime Man has ended. I'm Josh the Manga Lad now. Just the comments, just like, cause so I got my ears pierced. Yes. That's one big thing. And then just yesterday I got my hair cut.
Mm. Yes.
So now I look completely different.
Yeah, you look like the hacker character in the movie that doesn't want to explain how the hacking works. He's like, he just kind of like pisses everyone off.
Yeah.
But they always need him.
Yeah, yeah. The one
you look like that guy now.
Yeah, I look like that guy now. But like, I just loved, so you know, cause I had like every time like, I feel this is very much like a YouTuber thing, but like, even if like you slightly change how you look or, you know, slightly do something different, right? Yeah. It's like, to some people, it's like, what the fuck? It's like the end of the world type of thing, right?
Yeah. I think it's just YouTube comments work on the first thing they think they can comment about, they comment.
Yeah.
So it's always the appearance because you see that first.
Yeah. And it's like every time I get like my hair cut or like I shave or, you know, I guess in this case, you know, drastically change quite a bit. Just my favorite things is just like seeing the reception to it, regardless of if it's positive or negative. Like, you know, to all the people who said like, hey, Joe, you look good. I appreciate that. That's fucking dope. Thank you. But my favorites are the ones that of people just like losing their minds in a negative sense, like a family member just
died.
What was the funniest response you got?
The funniest one. So the one I saw on Instagram, it's always Instagram that are the best ones.
Okay.
But like when I posted the pictures of like getting my ears pierced, the top comment for a while was, "Is he gay or European?" And I was like, "Yes, I am a JoJo fan. Thank you." But then, you know, with the haircut, for instance, like, you know, some people were like, hey, you know, I like your cut, G. You know, you always get those. Yeah. And then other ones were like, you know, just like, I can't believe it. He is like L plus ratio. He fell off.
You fell off.
I saw a quote retweet that was dead ass saying like, you fucking fell off. And I was like,
well, his hair definitely did.
My hair fell off. That's for sure. He fell off. It's like, what? Because I got a haircut.
It was the same when I moved to Japan. The same video, I also dyed my hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though I'd moved to Japan, half the comments were just like, oh my God, his hair. Like, I just moved to Japan. What the fuck?
Yeah, like your hair was is like, oh, I have different hairs, you know, responsible for different funnies now. It's like, what? Yeah.
I just like the fact that you've had like longer hair and like the same length hair. Now you have like shorter hair.
To be fair, this is the shortest I think I've ever had it.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Does it feel good?
It feels good. The back of my head feels good. Yeah. But it's like,
how easy is it to wash now?
That's
the best part about having short hair.
It's amazing. I love it. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's like so many people are like, why would you do that to yourself? It's like,
why would you do that?
It's like I fucking stabbed a kid. Like, it's like, why would you do that now? And I was like, why not?
So as someone who like rarely ever changes their hairstyle, how do you guys pick what hairstyle that you like do? Or like, how'd you pick a new hairstyle?
I'm not confident enough in my own abilities to ever change my own style. Somebody asks to do it for me.
Right, right.
And then I'm like, and then I stick with it.
Yeah, like to me, every time I have changed my hairstyle in my life, it's been someone else recommending me a hairstyle to change it to. And I'm just like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like this. And it takes me like a good year or something to like build up my courage to be like, okay, maybe I'll go for this person's advice. And I change it. And I'm like, well, this is my new hairstyle now.
Well,
I'm
never changing it again. How did you transition from Sasuke hair to now? Was that a suggestion?
Yeah, it was a suggestion by my mates. Okay. Because they were like, mate, you need to stop putting this much gel into your fucking hair. Fucking just comb it down. And you're like, no. The Sasuke hair makes me, everyone loves it. Everyone loves it. It's never going to change like this for the rest of my life. And I do it once, I'm like, yeah, the Sasuke hair is fucking stupid. I don't know what I was thinking.
I've decided my hairstyle based on what requires no gel or wax. I just hate putting shit in my hair.
Yeah.
I always hated that. So I just like, whatever I can do when I roll out of bed is the one I'm going for.
So envious.
Yeah.
I need.
Yeah, I know you've gone like perfectionist. Yeah. This is like hand sculpting the perfect.
I mean, before today's episode, like majority of episodes is just my bed head.
Yeah.
Like I don't do anything with it. It's so funny though, people asking like, what shampoo and conditioner do you use? I was like, Head and Shoulders. Fucking Dove. Like it's nothing special. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, for me, it's like, I'm given like this, you know, job, right? Like, like YouTubing and just like being on social media where it's like, this isn't going to fucking affect my videos, right? It doesn't affect my job.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of like personal preference. So in my head, it's like, why, if I'm given this opportunity where I can kind of experiment with how I look and it not really affect my job, you know, maybe it might even affect it positively for some people. Why wouldn't I try it? It's like, you know, cause like with my hair, for instance, it's like, if you hate this hair, just wait a month. It'll go back to normal. It's going to go back to the length you're comfortable with. It's fine. Right. But it's like, you know, why would I not give it a go?
But also, I feel like a lot of that is just people not being used to a look or a new look.
Yeah, of course.
Because I remember I remember when I first started growing out like a stubble and everyone's like, you look weird as fuck. And even I did. I thought, man, I look fucking weird. I look fucking weird as fuck with just a stubble because I've never had a stubble or I've never like grown out a stubble in my life, even though I've always known I could. Mm. And I remember like I was like working on my latest vlog and I was looking at, you know, I was looking at my my trash taste video where I talk about trash taste. And then I was looking at the previous vlog I did before I was recording this one. And it was the BBC video that I did without a stubble. Yeah. And I was like, man, I look fucking weird. now I think I look weird without a stubble. And I look back at all Trash Taste episodes and I'm like, man, I look really weird. I don't know, man.
Dude, like when you like go back to like episode one of Trash Taste and I'm in a fucking ponytail.
Oh my God. I completely forgot about that.
I look at that and I'm like, you look homeless. I'm so glad I don't look like this anymore. But back then everyone was like, yeah, the Jesus hair, dude. It looks fucking sick. And back then I was like, yeah, you know what? It kind of looks sick. Not going to lie. But now I'm just like, no, it really got to the point where like, I knew it was gross when like even Aki's mom, who was like the most like, fucking accepting, like kind, like never says a bad thing about anything. Mm-hmm. Just one day was like, I think you should cut your hair. I was like, if you're saying that, maybe I should. Yeah.
I never want to hear that.
I think maybe I should.
The mom, not my own mom.
Yeah. I feel like I needed to hear that though. Cause like, that's probably how dire I looked. Cause like now I know what she means. I look back at that and I'm like, yeah, you know what? If I saw a guy like that who I cared about, I'd probably tell him to cut his hair too.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of gross. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, even with the piercings as well, it's like, it was surprising how a lot of people were like, oh, I thought your ears were already pierced.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah, now that you say it, I don't know why. I know it's never been that way, but like you had like that energy where you had your ears pierced. And
yeah, you did. Yeah,
really.
Because like when you said you got your ears pierced, I was like, didn't you already have your ears pierced? Or am I just like dreaming that up?
Yeah, everyone said that. Yeah. I was like, really?
It is weird how much like just changing a little bit of your facial features can change the perception.
Yeah.
When I was growing out my beard a little bit, I looked like fucking Willem Dafoe from The Lighthouse. And I was like, I kind of digged it though, but also at the same time, it was really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Having it long.
You actually reminded me of Linus Tech Tips more than anything.
Really?
I don't know why. Just like,
I don't want to. He wears sandals and socks.
Put side by side of Linus.
I love Linus, but he is not drip, you know? Like, I don't want to be compared to Linus when it comes
I think he looks good with a beard. I just like, it wasn't William Dafoe. It was like Linus Tech Tips with a beard energy that I got from it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I take that as a compliment. I think it's a compliment.
It's not a diss.
I'd rather
be Willem Dafoe. I hear he has like a 12-inch cock.
Yeah.
Is that like the biggest change you've ever done? Aside from like getting your hair dyed and everything like that, that you've ever
I think you turning silver was the biggest change, right?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
When I look at that, I'm like, weird. I liked it when it was half blonde, half brown, kind of. And it was like dirty blonde, I think.
Like when the silver was fading, right?
Yeah, I like that. I liked it towards the end.
Yeah, I like that segment as well.
But then it's like, I don't want to have to do it again. Also, I probably shouldn't be dyeing my hair when I haven't got much left of it. So
apparently that's a myth.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, I don't know. My hairdresser was saying yesterday.
But she got stakes in it. It's her job to dye people's hair.
Well, no, yeah, but that's true. But also she was saying that like, unless you're like directly applying the bleach onto the scalp, a hairdresser shouldn't be doing to begin with, it doesn't affect
true.
It.
True. I mean, I don't know. Either way,
I know why you're cautious about it.
I've got out of that phase as well, where I feel like I need to dye my hair. I feel like I'm just in the, I'm in the boomer stage now where I'm like,
you're in the veteran stage. Yeah.
It'll do whatever it wants, I will just deal with it.
It does feel like, regardless of age, it does feel like a stage that every YouTuber goes through.
Yeah,
where it's like, it's the dyed. It's either they go through a bald stage or they dye their hair.
But it's the I'm a YouTuber with a little bit of clout. Stage.
That is kind of like the YouTuber midlife crisis, right?
It's where, people are starting to look at me. Maybe I should spice things up.
I remember I never really wanted to dye my hair. It was like, I think I was-
What
I was
made
kinda,
you want to?
I think I was kind of interested in it. I was like, I've never tried it.
Yeah.
Thought it could be interesting. And then when I met Char, who dyes your hair, right?
Yeah.
She was just kind of like, yeah, let's just do it. And I was like,
give it a go.
I was like, I think I was in that phase where I was like, yeah, fuck it. Everything in my life is changing. Why not?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I tried it and I remember I didn't like it initially. I thought, okay. And then it got to blonde and I thought, huh. Weirdly looks okay.
Yeah,
I didn't mind blonde.
Yeah,
but then also, it did make me look a bit weird.
I don't think the silver looked weird on you, to be honest. I think that compared to like a red, or like a blue,
red,
standard like I am a YouTuber, YouTube gamer color.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Compared to that, I think the silver
YouTube gamer color.
Yeah.
Ninja.
Yeah, ninja.
If you had ninja hair, I would have been like, oh,
strong blue.
Are you a Twitch streamer? I mean, okay. I've done like what five or six different colors now.
Yeah.
I've done like red, blue, green, pink, purple. And God now damn. I have this like gray.
You should complete the rainbow.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
You just wake up one day and you're just like, I want to try something different today.
Which starburst color am I doing today?
Yeah, exactly. But that's that's an easy way to date my videos, right? Like if I know exactly what era this video is from just based on what color my hair is.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's like if you don't like this, that's totally fine.
You'll get used to it within like a month.
You'll get used to it in a month.
As with everyone does.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even used to it right now. I woke up this morning, I was like, nah. Like, who the fuck's that?
I'm just praying. I'm like, God, please. I hope I don't have a weird shaped head when I go bald.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one thing I was worried about because it really shapes out my face.
I don't know how do you know what the shape of your head is?
You won't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Do you?
Yeah, until you get to like this length and you're like, oh, my head is fucking weird.
I feel like we should have found out a way to figure out the shape of your head without having to shave it all off. Science, come on. We must have figured something out. Right,
just like it scans like the contour of your head. You
know? I'm sure there's like a fucking filter or something.
Yeah, that figures out. Shit.
Yeah.
The filters always look so shit. That's they true. Always look so cartoonishly bald, like Lex Luthor bald.
Wait, no bald person looks like this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like they just take this fucking Jeff Bezos like fucking, bald.
Yeah, and Johnny just, Sins. You know
yeah. yeah, yeah, dude. They all look like that, and it's like no,
Johnny Sins doesn't even look like a real bald person.
He doesn't.
What a man. What a man.
Man. The king of bald
many jobs.
aside from Joey getting his haircut, I watched another anime this past week.
What did you watch?
I watched Jujutsu Kaisen Zero.
Oh, you watched the movie?
In cinemas.
How was it?
It was.
Say it. Say it, God.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Not mid.
Not mid.
I
not
liked
mid.
It. I thought it was good.
It was good. It was good. It was.
Did you watch it in 4XD?
What's 4XD?
Where they like spit on you and shake the chair and stuff.
No, I didn't know that was an option.
Did they have that for
Jujutsu? Yeah, they did. They
spit wow. on you.
They like blow out.
Just one person. Just like
they blow out. I like the animation. It was pretty.
I don't know if watching Demon Slayer has just spoiled me in terms of like shonen anime films. But like I went into like the not with like the expectations that it was going to be Demon Slayer Mugen Train level. But right. I did come in knowing that was the last shonen anime film that I had watched in theaters. And I came out being just mildly amused and just impressed by some animation points, but at the end of the day, it was like the most 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to say it's
was
a
the,
seven.
Was
out of 10.
The story good?
It was okay. It was okay. Like okay,
bro. The people in the cinema next to me were fucking bawling their eyes.
Oh yeah,
out.
Of course.
And
yeah.
I was like, yeah. you good?
Literally, everyone in the cinemas when I watched Mugen Train was just like, just light sobbing from every corner of the room, and I'm just like,
okay.
This
woman next to me was like. Yeah. Full on bawling. And I was like, are you okay?
Yeah, because like to me, Mugen Train, the thing that made Mugen Train special for a shonen anime film was that it actually felt canon. You know, it actually felt like it had a real tangible effect on the story. Whereas I know that Jujutsu Kaisen Zero is technically canon because it's technically supposed to be a prequel, but also it's like starring like a main character that we hadn't seen before. And
but no, it is canon. It's a prequel. Right?
No, it is
canon. Yeah.
It is canon, but it didn't feel like anything I watched in the movie had any effect to like anything I watched in the TV series.
A little bit, very minimal though. Like mainly to do with the bad guy.
Mainly to do with the bad guy, and then. I found out spoilers from the people I was watching it with, and I was like, "Oh, okay." So, I'm not going to spoil.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to spoil. But it had like it didn't really have that much of an effect. It kind of felt like a side story, if anything, rather than actually having a proper like I should care about all the things going on. And I think that's my problem with a lot of shonen anime movies is that there's zero reason for me to care about anything going on.
We spoke about this like last time we spoke about the movie.
Literally every One Piece movie.
Well, I it's a good experience, but it is a bit odd because it's like I think it's been number one at the box office in Japan for 10 weeks now.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
and it's just like
I'm not
these things
even
are just
surprised.
Money printers.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not.
Just money
like after Mugen Train, it's just like every industry is just like eagle vision on cinemas now. It's just like that's where the money is.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the industry is definitely gearing up more towards movies because, like, we're.
I mean, Heaven's Feel was like fucking insane as well for that, like, 3 month process of like all those movies.
Yeah, because like when I got invited to see Jujutsu Kaisen, I thought, oh, it's a bit late, isn't it? Is it still going to be in cinemas? Because I missed out on seeing Dune because that was only in cinemas for like a month and a half or yeah, like maybe even less in Japanese cinemas. But like with anime movies, it just seems like it just never goes out.
Dude, Mugen Train was in cinemas for a year.
Yeah, like what?
A year.
Like how is it a year later, people are still seeing it in cinemas and they're still making money off this shit? I mean, I guess that's why it's like the top grossing anime movie of all time. Yeah. But like my time scale for how long movies are in cinemas are like completely fucking destroyed by anime movies because they never seem to go out. They always seem to be in there.
How long has Jujutsu Kaisen been in cinemas for now?
Like didn't it come out in? It came out Christmas Eve.
Oh shit! So it's almost 3 months.
Yeah, almost 3 months, and fucking it doesn't seem like it's even close.
Yeah,
close.
Because they have showings in 4XD, MXD, whatever. Yeah. And they have 3D, and they have Dolby Atmos, and there's a fuck ton going. So.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Like when I was stuck in Hokkaido, because the airport has a cinema there, I was like, oh, maybe I'll see what's playing. Literally, it was Jujutsu Kaisen 04 every single play.
They didn't have any other stuff.
No, they didn't.
Wait, was it just one screen or was it multiple screens?
I believe it was two screens.
Oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because there's a ton of cinemas all around Tokyo that have like 20 plus screens or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you can watch, there's tons of foreign films, so many of them.
And you can watch Jujutsu Kaisen on 7 of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I watched Operation Mincemeat. That's what it's called. The one with Colin Firth.
That doesn't sound like a real movie.
Never heard of that at all.
No, it's about like a World War II operation where they like made a fake person, but they got a real dead body and gave it fake documents and then washed it up in Spain.
Wait, is that like based off a true story?
Yeah, it really happened.
Oh, wow.
Really cool. Really cool. Really, really cool story.
That's pretty dope.
Basically, like they wanted to make Germany think that the UK was going to attack somewhere they weren't. And so the way they did it was by floating a body to Spain with fake documents on it. And then Spain leaked it to Germany. And then Germany thought it was real.
Damn.
And stuff, because they made this person like look so convincing that they were a real person.
That's
a really cool story, but the movie was shit.
Oh, okay. Is it a comedy?
It's a drama, but the problem, I guess, it wasn't shit. It was a very six out
of comedy.
5 or 6 out of 10. No, it's focuses on like the personal drama amongst the people who are doing the operation.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like,
there's a
love triangle and shit. And it's like, what, this is a fucking war. What's going on? What do we? I don't know. I was
the Notebook of World War II.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, all right. Well, the thing is so interesting itself, like the whole story. But obviously, there's not much known about it, so they obviously had to make a
build
drama.
It up.
And so it's kind of like, I mean, Colin Firth's great. He's always great.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like, all right,
just me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like going back to what you said about, yeah, it was shit. Like, I was having this thought the other day because like, I'm getting so bored of the word mid, right? Because like, it just seems like, I tweeted out a tweet about like fucking Demon Slayer and the animation, and somehow that was like one of the most toxic Twitter tweets.
You tweeted
like,
about Demon Slayer animation?
Why would you do that?
After what happened to me, Gon?
Why would you do that?
I just said Demon Slayer had good animation. That was it. It was just like, oh yeah, Demon Slayer, I watched season 2 and I'm like, okay, maybe it did deserve best animation. My fucking God, I literally had to mute that thread compared to everything else going on in the world. That was the thread that I had to mute in the past week.
I'm like gagging just thinking about that conversation.
People are clowns, right? Like it does have the best animation. It's not even like a contest. But people say there's other things that are better. No, it's not. Is the story the best? No. But like people are equating the fact they don't like the show or they don't like how much attention it's getting being like, it doesn't deserve the best animation. Yeah. Listen, it does. It just flat out does.
Yeah.
It does that mean that it's a good show? No, it doesn't. Is it a mid shonen series, like story wise? Yes. Yes, it is. But the animation is fucking god tier.
I'm not associating myself with that opinion.
Listen, I fucking love Demon Slayer, right? But it's the same reason why I watch porn. I like what's going on the screen. I don't like the plot.
I love Demon Slayer, but is like the
but
most like
I love Demon
thin.
Slayer, but it's mid. Yeah. You heard it here first.
I fucking was so hyped watching it bro. Yeah. But to sit here and be like, it's a complex storytelling.
No,
and
no. Then
it's not.
It's right? a super right. simple shonen. I think it's like,
what does mid mean to you? What does mid mean to you?
Like, mid means to me is that you can watch it and there are many aspects of it that you enjoy, but there's also a lot of aspects about it that just don't grip you. Like, yeah. There's a lot about it. That
like Jujutsu Kaisen?
No.
To me.
No, because okay. I was having this thinking.
See, I'm saying the story is mid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like,
you know,
as an overall show, it's good.
I think the story is, you know, slightly above mid. I think it's a solid story. It does everything it needs
slightly
to.
Above mid.
This is such a fucking meme.
That's like saying, like, it's slightly above shit.
Listen.
Is mid shit? Because,
the train movie, I'm going to say it was boring as fuck. I was bored out of my mind watching that.
The whole way?
No, okay, there was bits where it was good, but like the first
60%.
The first 70% of that movie, yeah. I was actually like resident sleeper, bro. I was sleeping.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I was like, God damn. I think people forget that, like, because everyone only thinks about the last fight and like the last 30 minutes of that movie, yeah. Because the last 30 minutes were fucking great. They were fucking amazing. The actual part when they were on the train was, to me, pretty boring
as fuck.
It was
the
pretty
part
boring.
Where they're like going to the dreams. I was just like, snooze.
Yeah.
Like literally snooze. Yeah.
To me, like I had this realization that to me, like something shit. Like when I say, oh yeah, it was pretty shit. It's a 5 out of 10. To me, that's shit, right? Whereas, you know, like, I don't know why.
Is a 5 out of 10 shit to you?
I don't know why.
To me, that borders on like average.
Yeah,
like,
but that's the
when
thing,
was the last 5 out of 10 thing you've watched?
You can tell yourself that 5 out of 10 in your head means that, but it doesn't. Five out of 10 means
right.
that. Because you're never going to give anything a 1 unless you really hate it.
Right.
And you never hear anyone giving a 3 or a 4.
See, because in my head, like I'm operating on like the My Anime List rating score, right?
So where, when's the last time you, in your mind, gave something a 5 out of 10. You could be watched, read, whatever, right?
Okay, because, right? Let me because think about that. 7 out of 10 means that you didn't hate it, but you were happy. Like you had an experience that you were happy with.
Yeah.
Did it blow you away? No. 5 out of 10 means that you're not sure if you wasted your time. And that's why it feels weird giving things that you're like, it's mid, a 5 out of 10.
Because like, I think a 1 out of 10 isn't even wasting your time. Because at that point-
That's an insult.
At that point, you watch a 1 out of 10, you're like, this is just entertaining.
This is so bad that it's good.
You watch X-Arm, you watch Berserk 2016, you're like, okay, this is obviously like fucking terrible, but I'm having a good time watching this just to shit on it.
So that's like, to me, it's like 5 is like the middle where it's like, all right, if you do nothing good and nothing bad, you get a 5. Right, it's the most basic.
To me, a 5 out of 10 when it comes to anime. To me, a 5 out of 10 is like I finish watching it, I feel nothing about it, and I forget about it in a couple of weeks.
No, 5 out of 10 for me is like, have I wasted my time? I'm not sure.
No.
5 out of 10 to me is, have I wasted my time? Yes. This was a waste of time. It was. Right. I didn't.
But
get
it wasn't horrible. Right.
Yeah.
So,
no.
So what would you define as 4?
It's because, huh?
What would you say 4 is then?
4 is, okay. Here's
four to me is like, I'm going to forget about this, but all I'm going to remember about this show is that it was a waste of my time.
No, because here's how I think why, when we say what the average, when we say what the middle of the ground, what the average score is, most people will say 7, even though logically you think it's 5.
It's a 5, okay. Yeah.
So if it's a 5, it's probably like the lowest that you will ever finish a show. Because to me, if it's a 3 or 4, I probably watched 1 or 2 episodes and I didn't even finish it because there's nothing in that to grab my attention. 5 is just like, there was enough for me to finish it and then I regret finishing it because
I understand that.
Yeah, because there was nothing in there that made me want to like remember it or left an impact on me.
But the 5 out of 10s are like, in my opinion, they're the worst shows because they're just thrown into this pile of like, oh yeah, that existed.
What would you give Jujutsu Kaisen out of 10?
I give it like a 7.
Okay, that's fair.
Because it's like, no, I wouldn't consider that.
It's
mid.
Slightly above
it's
mid.
Okay.
It's okay.
See, to me, right, when I hear, when you say 7 to me is like, you were happy and had fun watching it, but the moment it's over, you don't feel compelled by the show at all. There's nothing that makes it like really stick in your memory. It's like, it's a good experience and you don't regret it, but nothing after the fact makes you want to actively think about
it. But that's the thing. It's like with Jujutsu Kaisen, like I finished it and it's like, I had a pretty good time watching it. I was like, okay, yeah, this is good. But like when it was finished, I was like, am I compelled to go read the manga or like continue it on? Not exactly. Like to me, My Hero Academia is the exact same thing where it's like season 1, it's like, yeah, It was great.
Yeah.
It was cool. You know, I can see why people enjoyed it. I had a pretty good time with it. Am I compelled to continue on with it? Personally, no.
What would you give the... Did you watch the new Demon Slayer season yet? Have you watched it?
Yeah.
What would you give it? I personally, even though I said the story is not the best, I still think it's like an 8 or a 9.
I'd give it like a solid 8.
Bro, it was hard. It went hard.
I would give it an 8.5 to 9. And that's the reason I say that.
We're
is
all
because
in agreement. The Demon Slayer Council has decided.
Strong eight.
It was amazing.
Because
like,
I don't agree that the story is mid, because a lot of people say the story of Demon Slayer is mid, and to me, like, Demon Slayer's story, it's as simple as it needs to be, right?
Yeah,
I feel like it's as simple as it needs to be to make the rest of the good parts shine. Mm. The problem with Demon Slayer is like when you have an arc like Mugen Train and there are like fights that don't stand out as much, it's like really, really apparent, like just that the story and the characters don't carry the show as much. Mm. But with season two, because half the season was just a fucking full-on action fest, you're like, fucking hell, this is like an 8 or 9 out of 10. Yeah. And like, that's the point where, okay, I don't really care about the story that much if the action just fucking slaps this hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How dare you say the animation?
You know what I mean?
How dare you say the animation?
Wow.
I don't think we ever talked about that on the podcast, have we? Ashamed. Yeah,
I'm too afraid, dude. Because I've been on the other side quite recently.
Can he cancel it about talking about the animation?
I'm just trying to think of like a 5 out of 10. This is the problem with trying to remember a 5 out of 10 anime show is that I don't remember. That's why there are 5 out of 10. You know, like the moment I finish.
What about manga? Because you read more manga. Because I can remember most 5 out of 10 shows. It's literally like, I go to the list of isekai I finished, and I'm just like, a lot of these are literally 5 out of 10.
Even 5 out of 10 manga, I'm like, I just don't remember them. Mm. And that's the problem. It's like, it's so hard to talk about these kinds of like mediocre, middle of the ground shows. It's because like, unless I recently rewatch it again, I'm not going to remember it. I'm like, oh yeah, it's probably something along those lines, but I wouldn't be able to like, you know, concretely tell you like, this is the reason why it's a 5 out of 10. It's just so like impactless that it's just like, oh, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you feel bad if you feel like you've wasted the time watching a show?
No.
No.
You don't?
No. I feel like when you start caring that much about the media, you're... The media? Why? It sounds like the media.
About the
stuff you're consuming. I feel like you almost ruin a lot of it for yourself. Like stuff that you might have enjoyed. You just think you're worried too much about if you're enjoying it the whole time.
Oh, that's kind of where I got to, unfortunately, with that. Like, it's like it got to the point where I was so selective on what I was watching to make sure that everything I was watching was worth my time. That if I ran into something that I was like, well, I just wasted an hour because of watching these first 3 episodes.
I don't know if this is like, I haven't consciously chosen to do this, but I've stopped scrolling or looking for shows.
Yeah. It's just kind of whatever appears in front
of me. Whatever is recommended, whatever is put in my head. Or
I think that's the best way to consume media.
And honestly, I've been having a great time. Yeah. I feel like
I honestly wish I could do that. Because
you have to watch anime.
Well, no, it's not even anime. It's like pretty much every form of media. And it's not even about me like being like a fucking snob wanting to like consume the best shit. Mm. It's literally, I started really caring about it when I just didn't have the time to do everything I wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
So like nowadays, like even if it's just like picking a game, I want it to be a game I could properly get into. Mm. Like
but you're stuck in this cycle of constantly worrying if the game is good enough for your time, and then you never you never fucking play anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's
also I feel games are way more of a time sink than an anime. On average.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Yeah. Well, like to me, getting into a game, getting like properly absorbed into a game is just like, it's one of the most magical experiences, and I fucking love it when I just get absorbed into a video game world. It's the same way that I get absorbed into an anime or absorbed into a manga or something like that.
Absolutely.
And like to me, I don't know, like because my time is so precious to me right now, it sucks that I like constantly have to like have this little part of my head that's just like, oh, could you be watching something better that you'd enjoy maybe a little bit more? No, are you really in the mood for this?
I don't know. Yeah. You optimize your schedule in every way, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like the stuff that you consume should be the one thing where you're like, no pressure. Like whatever you watch, whatever you play, doesn't matter if it wasn't the game of the year, doesn't matter if it wasn't the movie of the year.
Yeah.
Just watch whatever comes up. Have an opinion on it. Like I watched that Don't Look Up. What a shit movie.
The DiCaprio.
What an
one,
awful movie.
That was a 5 out of 10.
I hated that movie.
You hated that?
I hated it. I
heard
so
a lot of people hated it.
Fucking bored.
Yeah.
And it went on for like an hour longer than it needed to.
Right.
And like, yeah, there were some funny moments of it. There were some bits that I chuckled. But overall, I just felt like I wasted my time.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm glad I watched this because it gave me, even though I came out disliking the movie, for some reason that made me happy. I was like, yeah, that was shit. And it was fun getting to talk to other people who also thought it was shit. I don't know. I just liked it.
I think as well, it's because like even if you do consume something that is shit within that like specific medium, like it just broadens your horizon more on the medium and like it adds to the knowledge pool of like, oh, now that I've consumed something on the other side of the spectrum, now I'm a little bit more knowledgeable about what makes the good shit good, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm definitely like that with music where I'm like, if it's on fucking Spotify, I'm just listening to
it. Right. Like I watched Spider-Man movie, the new one.
Oh yeah.
And like, yeah, it was great. But I, because it was just great and I had a good time, my emotions are way stronger about Don't Look Up.
Really?
I hated it.
Right, you had more to talk about, right? Yeah,
I have more. I watched No Way Home and I had a great time, but at the end of the day, I've already like forgotten about it and I don't care. And it was good, but it was just-
That was a movie I fucking loved. I liked
it a lot, but after I'm done with it, I'm like, that was everything I expected it to be.
Right.
And I had fun, but I don't feel strongly about it.
I think that's the thing though. It's like, the problem is like, I think the sweet spot of like, you being able to like really gush out about something is like when it's on two ends of the spectrum, right? Where it's either like so fucking incredible, like 10 out of 10 masterpiece where you can just gush about your love for it forever. Mm. And then there's the other side where it's like, let me tell you about how absolutely atrocious this shit is.
Yeah, dude, I watched, could you Google this for me, Ashley? It's Robert Pattinson's movie. I forgot the name. Fuck, I watched it like 3 weeks ago. No. It's an
must
old
have been
one.
A 5 out of 10.
Yeah, no. Right. Must have been a 5 out of 10.
It's amazing. Is it Good Time? Good Time? I can't remember what it's called.
Connor remembers shit things and forgets good things, apparently.
What? Good Time?
Yeah.
Dude, Good Time? Please fucking watch Good Time. Yeah. It's so good. This movie was amazing. I want you to watch it so badly so we can talk about it.
What's it about?
I don't want to say anything, but have you watched Uncut Gems?
No. Yeah.
You know like how it's just anxiety simulator?
Yeah.
It's that. And like, right. It is literally like anxiety simulation.
Okay.
It's so good. It's amazing. And it's just like a movie that when you watch it, I just felt like this was just, I'm so glad I watched this movie. Like I just felt like I had like experienced something special that a lot of love and care went into and that everyone really just brought their A game. Like it was just amazing. Please watch it. It's so good. Okay. A lot of Robert Pattinson's movies.
Is this in cinemas?
No. It came out years ago.
Came out 2017.
Yeah. So again, go and watch it. It's really good. I absolutely adore all of his stuff. I think he's really good in a lot of things. Mm. I'm really hyped for him as Batman.
I'm hyped for him.
Because
I'm hyped as well.
Every movie I've watched with him after Twilight, he chose weird ass roles that were just so good and he just nailed it.
But that's what I love about like, that's what I love about actors like that though, because Daniel Radcliffe did the exact same thing, right? It's like usually those like super popular typecasted actors who are like, now people are just going to know me as this shit forever.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go and do all the weird shit, like
man.
All the weird artsy, like Daniel Radcliffe movies. Yeah. Like I've seen so many of them and they're just like, man, like fucking respects, dude. Like you can do shit like this. Like, and now he's like doing Broadway shit.
Yeah.
It's like, he's doing that right after.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Like, it's like, yeah, good on you, dude.
I feel like that, like actors going weird and doing weird films is like the actor equivalent of the YouTuber getting the hair dyed. It's like, guys, I want an image change. I'm just gonna do a bunch of weird shit now, right?
Sure, no, they've like, all gone on, like Shia LaBeouf as well. Like yeah, the way yeah, on to yeah. doing all the weird shit afterwards as well.
Which one did he do?
Nymphomania.
Fuck, that was a weird watch. Have you watched that, Gaunt?
No.
I want Gaunt to watch this.
Nymphomaniac. It's, what's the fucking director's name? He's like the really
weird- You know
what
weird,
like,
Nymphomaniac is, right?
Yeah.
It's about Nymphomaniac.
It's, you know that's a three-parter, right?
Yeah.
It's a three-part? It's a trilogy?
No, it's two parts, right?
Lars von Trier.
Yeah, it's a Lars von Trier film.
Two parts, right?
Two.
Yeah,
is
two.
It a two-part?
Yeah, it's two. Yeah, so I was like, well, you're about three parts.
Yeah, two. Volume one and two.
Yeah.
No, not of Nymphomaniac, like of that universe.
Oh, no, the one with the Shia LaBeouf movies are two.
Yeah.
I watched
it. It's a universe?
No, there's like like a trilogy of Lars von Trier movies, and Nymphomaniac, right. I think, is the third one.
You should
or something
watch
like that.
It is a fucking weird movie.
It's
and
weird.
It's uncomfortable, and it
Yeah, it's like, well, Lars von Trier is like known to make some really disturbing movies.
Yeah.
Nymphomaniac's probably, I've seen all the Lars von Trier movies, and Nymphomaniac's easily the fucking weirdest one. And I was like, oh, Shia LaBeouf's
it's
in
like,
it.
You just go, what you just, the fuck? You just go from Even Stevens, like, shut up, sis. And it's like, oh God, Shia, oh God.
Like, oh good. Jesus. I didn't wish to see Shia LaBeouf's butthole in three different scenes, yeah. But there it is, God. I guess.
I didn't mean to watch this movie. It came on the TV.
How did you see it? It was on TV?
I was on TV. I was in a hotel and like-
Isn't it like an X-rated movie?
I think I was in like Bulgaria and it was on TV or something.
You watched it in Bulgaria?
I know I watched it. I watched it in a European country and it was on TV at like 2 a.m. and I couldn't sleep and I watched it and just- I remember just thinking like, what the fuck?
Must have felt like a fucking fever dream.
It was weird. Right? It was weird.
Anything Lars von Trier makes is a fucking fever dream.
It's weird, man.
How do you guys think like trash TV fits into everything? Would you call trash TV like what rating would you give like Kitchen Nightmares or something like that, or 90 Day Fiance?
I think it just depends because like people, it depends if you grew up on it or not. Right, yeah, like right. During like, you know, were you
I like
surrounded
the character of Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah.
I'm invested in that character. I like it. I know that most of it, especially in Kitchen Nightmares, is all faked. I don't give a shit.
But also, that's the thing. It depends on like if you were like raised in a family where like it was like a family event to be like, oh, it's Wednesday night, let's watch Kitchen Nightmares, you know, like that kind of thing, right? Like I didn't grow up in a family like that, so like to me, like I didn't grow up with trash TV at all. So
we never watched it together.
Yeah.
So when I watched it on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So like, because like. The first time I knew about like Kitchen Nightmare was like through like YouTube clips, right? Any TLC show, right? I was like, what the fuck is this? You know,
just because like I knew Kitchen Nightmares because that was like literally when I first saw Gordon Ramsay as well. Right. It was the British Kitchen Nightmares as well, which was like, you compare British Kitchen Nightmares to American Kitchen Nightmares and it's like fucking night and day. Yeah. Like not only the editing, but just how like toned down Gordon Ramsay is as well.
Mm. Toned down in the British one?
Yeah, he's toned down. It's different, right? Because it feels like in the American one, it feels like they actually get like-
There's a formula.
Huh?
There's a formula.
It is a formula, but you know, it feels like they get like the worst of the worst fucking chefs and restaurant, like actual clowns to like present their dish to Gordon Ramsay. And it's almost like cartoonish in a way. And you look at the British one and it feels like it's just like chefs who actually give a shit about their food, who actually just like- Who need some advice.
Yeah.
A lot of the times Gordon Ramsay is like giving them like genuine advice and maybe they're too headstrong or maybe they're too like, you know, prideful to really listen to his advice. Whereas, you know, in America, it actually feels more like this is not even reality TV anymore. This looks so cartoony and feels so over the top that you just don't even take it seriously.
I just feel that way about like 99% of American trash TV.
No, you know which one, the one I hate the most? I hate it because I used to also watch it a lot. The fucking Porn Stars.
Oh yeah.
What's that one?
You know it. It's the one, you know Porn Stars.
It's the one, it's set in Vegas.
Yeah, right. It's like the one with the bald guy and someone comes in, he's like, I've got this thing worth $20 million and he's like, I'll give you $10 for it.
Yeah.
I thought you said Porn Stars.
Like pawn. Well,
we're British.
Like
we pronounce it the same way, guys. Yeah.
Porn Stars.
Unfortunately, we're not American. They're Porn Stars.
Yeah,
porn
stars. I thought it was like.
We say porn.
No. I thought it was a fucking show about literal porn stars. I was like, what is this reality TV show?
There's porn stars and there's also hardcore porn. As well, which is the other one. There was like a spin-off to that.
There was like a British version of it as well, which was just like-
What was it called?
Down.
Porn in it.
Probably.
Car Boot Sailors or something like that, right?
Yeah. So like, it was like, that show is just, because it's so obviously fake, but also at the same time, you're like, it's just cool just seeing weird shit brought in.
I've driven past the Porn Stars place.
But it's fake.
Vegas.
They don't even film it in there, right?
No, they don't even film it in there. They just film B-roll outside of it.
And it's just like-
Because it's in the most ghetto part of Vegas. It's so scary.
And then like, you know, there'll be this guy comes in, he'll be like, I have this mummified corpse that's been sitting in my grandma's attic in Nevada. You're like, great. He's like, oh, you know, I know an expert. I'm going to bring him down. Yeah. And 10 seconds later, the expert's there. And he's like, well, it is a mummified corpse. It's worth about $50,000. And then he just goes, oh, I'll give you $20 for it. What am I going to do with a mummified corpse? What am I going to do with that? It's just so dumb. The whole formula is shit.
And then they just walk out angrily. It's like, you're missing out on a great deal, man.
I mean, what I didn't understand about Porn Stars is like when they started started, I guess, introducing storylines.
They have B plots.
Yeah, they would be like B line plots with their family that would get resolved in an episode. Yeah. Like it's a same episode with, of like Happy Days or something like that.
Same I'm with just... Storage Wars as well.
Yeah.
My God, I remember
that,
Storage Wars.
That was so big in the UK. The American one played on UK television so fucking much.
Really?
Yeah. It was so popular. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, thinking back on it, that was the one actually trash TV that came on Australian TV all the time. And my dad was obsessed.
Loved it because they would literally be a pile of shit in this room, and these guys would be like, sell that for $50, sell that for $20. Like, where are you going to sell this to? There's like a used bed sheet. He's like, that's $5 right there. It's like, no, it's not. You're not selling this for $5.
What if though it's like all connected, like the trash TV universe where like they
trash TV
like
universe.
In Storage Wars, they like they take all the shit and then they go to the porn stars place to like sell it off. They'll be like,
I just don't get it because it's like half the time, you know. Of course, there'll be these ones, these fake ones that'll be like, this guy has a lot full of perfect rarity Charizards in perfect grain. It's like, well, obviously we can sell those. But other times there's just lots or something where it's just all shit. And you're like, even if you could make a profit selling this, surely the amount of time to get rid of all of this shit and sell it is just not worth it.
No.
Like, yeah, you could sell the pack of AA batteries for $10 if you really wanted to. But why would you? Like, where are you going to sell this to?
Yeah.
Like, are you shipping it? Surely that has to be taken into account.
Yeah. This is the only country where I see that working, you know, where you can actually sell the stuff and people will buy it and reuse it.
They do have storage lots in Japan, but I don't think they sell them, do they, when they...
No.
I'm pretty sure they
don't sell them. They actually use storage for storage purposes.
Yeah, but the storage lots, I think if somebody doesn't collect it, I think they just get rid of all the stuff.
Yeah, they just throw
it all out.
I don't
think they sell them to the public, which would be a shame because we need a Japan Storage Wars version. That would
Storage Wars.
Dude, that would be epic. Tanaka said, thinks he could get a great deal.
I think I know more American reality TV shows than I know British reality TV shows. I can't think of like
we have
many.
Naked Attraction.
You know we do have Naked Attraction. No.
I love that show.
When I went back to the UK, that was still on TV. It was still airing on Channel 4.
You know the ones that actually, there's a reality TV show where you feel bad watching it. Right. But even if it's, I don't know how much of it's fake, but like, you know the Debt Collectors one?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one where I'm always like, even if this is fake, should we really be making storylines? It's like, there's a bunch in the UK. We fucking love debt collecting shows in the UK for some reason.
We love watching Debt Collectors as long as we're not on the button of it.
Right? So what's the premise?
Just, they go and collect debts.
It's just like Jim owes the bank $50,000, and so Jeremy over here is going to go over to his house and collect it. Let's see what happens.
But in the British one, it's just like some guy goes to their house. Hey, we've come here to get the stuff, and they're like, "Fuck off, mate! No, you don't fucking get in my thing. Fuck right off!" And they're like, "They've got a high magistrate's court notice to collect the stuff. If they don't, they'll start collecting things off the property." And then the police turn up, and then it's just fucked because it's like, oh, these poor people who've had some horrible circumstance, and then we're just shoving cameras in their face while their apartment's being ransacked and they're selling the stuff off. Yeah, they should
like, how do you feel?
It's like, yeah, they probably should have paid their debts. But wouldn't everyone pay their debts if they could?
Wait, is it called a can't pay, we'll take it away?
That's it. What a stupid
name. Can't pay, we'll take it away.
I have never heard of that
name
before.
You've watched it. It's on Channel 5.
Dane, the okay,
I don't watch Channel 5.
I'm going to send you links.
I don't think I've ever watched a single program.
I guarantee if you watch one, you'll get hooked. It's horribly
the trash
addictive.
TV channel?
I don't think it's just the trash channel.
it's so addictive watching this stuff.
Like to me, like Channel 4.
I don't know why. You just can't help yourself.
Like, to me, like Channel 4 is where a lot of like the trash TV goes. Yeah. Even though I can't like think of any.
No, Channel 4 is good stuff too, though.
Yeah, but Channel 4 is like actually one of like the best channels. Yeah. It has like the widest range. It seems like to be the most experimental as well. Mm. BBC is just like very standard. Here's your like fucking Doctor Who. Here's The Voice. ITV is just like, here's X Factor once again. That's a reality TV Britain's show, actually.
Talent. Yeah, that's a reality
TV show. Yeah, I completely forgot. That's just like reality TV show, just like times 100 though, right?
But no one cares about singing reality. Like, is X Factor still going?
Huh?
Is X Factor still happening?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it's still happening.
Does anyone give a fuck?
Love Island as well. Love Island. Yeah, yeah. Is that ITV? I feel like that's ITV.
It is ITV.
Yeah, so you got like, I feel
that's really popular in America as well, the British one.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's really popular in America.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, the Great British Bake Off as well. I completely forgot about
that. Which can't be called Bake Off in the US.
Really?
Well, it can't. One of the US brands has the trademark.
Oh, like Easy Bake?
One of them has the trademark to Bake Off. So it's called something else in America, and they've had to
cook off
something. And they've had to actually on Netflix they've had to like animate over certain parts of the show where like the trophy. They've had to like they did CGI where they changed what the trophy said.
Wow.
Oh, it's called the Great American Baking Show.
Yeah.
The Great American Baking Show.
Yeah, because they didn't have the rights for the Wood Bake Off. Oh, wow. Because for some reason, a company owns the right for the Wood Bake Off, which is weird. So they changed it. So that is popular in the US, but it's called technically something different.
The Baking Show.
The Great British Baking Show. Just doesn't roll off the tongue's word.
It's just so stiff.
I know, right? I know. Does Australia have any reality TV shows?
I mean, we got like Australian Idol and like The Voice Australia and like all that shit.
How did The Voice get popular? At which point in time did we decide we need more than one singing reality TV show? When was X Factor just not enough?
I think it's because like shows like X Factor and like American Idol were like a lot of the times there was like contestion of like, are they like judging them on their actual singing or are they judging them on their performance? Yeah. So people are like, we want to know if they can actually sing and looks don't matter. You know, like that whole like fucking like, you know, inclusive thing.
I just hate how they treat you, the audience, as idiots and feed you these garbage storylines.
Yeah.
I also get confused about like the judges on a lot of these shows.
X Factor or Britain's Got Talent has like fucking ruined so many fucking songs for me just because of like they use it at like the emotional point. Like if I hear like You Raise Me Up one more fucking time, it's always You Raise Me Up, right?
It's like Golden Buzzer, You Raise Me Up.
It's like the X Factor. Wait, they didn't win. Susan Boyle, right?
Yeah.
Like, did Susan Boyle win? No, she came second, right?
I can't remember.
Did Susan Boyle win?
So it's like that is like the peak of how TV manipulates us to just want to, you know, they'll give you an underdog and they've got a sad story. Yeah. Oh no, I've never had a boyfriend. Oh no. Yeah. You know, and the show doesn't give a shit they haven't had a boyfriend, but they're like, look, audience, care about this. They do it all the time as well with like military stuff.
Yeah.
There'll be someone who wants to compete who maybe like served in Afghanistan or something. And instead of just being like, hey, this is the talent, it's like, no, you're the guy who went to Afghanistan. Your whole identity is about going to Afghanistan and you're doing this for your troops back in Afghanistan because their one last wish is to see you perform. That's what they do.
Yeah,
I was watching a thing with Chris in the hotel room and it was a Britain's Got Talent person who... was performing magic and they served in the military.
Yeah.
And it was just insulting how they almost just shoved it down your throat. It's like, this is the guy's only reality as a human being is that he served in a war.
Oh my God.
Can we not just be people? Do we have to just like, do we have to just shove down these suggestible stories?
How about you follow the name of your show and just be like, do you have a talent? Yes or no? Yeah.
Because it's not about that. It's about, is your story compelling?
Yeah.
So in this magic show, this guy's doing these tricks and stuff, and you know, not to minimize it, but it was almost beat for beat predictable. And this is, there's this one trick where he was doing, and he was like, "Oh, look at the clock and tell me the time." And so right before the point of this trick goes, I was like, "Chris," because Chris was watching it,
yeah,
and I was like, I bet it's the time where one of his friends died or something in the war.
Yeah.
No, shit you not. 2 seconds later, he's like, that's the time when my friend passed in the war.
Oh my God.
And it's like, okay, don't get me wrong. I want to say that that is obviously horrific and stuff, but the fact that they're using this as bait for us.
It almost like even trivializes it because it doesn't feel real. It does, like the impact is gone because it feels so manufactured.
It's just,
point,
like they might as well have just put up a cue card to be like, now cry.
It's like, again, I want to make sure I'm not diminishing it or trying to minimize it or make it seem like
it's not on the guy, it's on the editors of the show.
It's on the producer.
The show's probably heard this story or something. They're like, yo, play that up. Dude, people want to fucking cry.
Yeah, because it's been proven plenty of times that the auditions that we see televised in front of a live audience isn't actually like the first audition. They go through like several stages with the producers. I guarantee he was doing that magic trick and like one of the producers like just like heavily suggested, yo, you should
we don't know. Speculation, by the way.
Speculation. But I like in my mind, I'm just like, I feel like one of the producers just went, you know, I feel like you should kind of like try to integrate that storyline into your magic trick somehow. Could you be, know, yeah. I, you know,
there's definitely kind of stuff that those, you know, producers are would do. Like we've seen, you know, if you ever look at the people have released the contracts and stuff, yeah. They're pretty predatory contracts.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of the time, I think I can't remember which one it was. Either one of these shows, one of the British ones, is like they by signing the contract, they owned everything that you would make that you would self-publish online or something.
I think it was American Idol.
One of them it's was like, yeah, those, so if you went to even audition and you posted content online, if they wanted to, they could turn around and be like, hey, that's ours. We that's ours, bro.
Yeah.
We own that's you. Just fucked.
Yeah.
Could be Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah. I think it might have been Britain's
Got Talent.
I think it was,
because I saw the YouTube video about it.
Yeah.
Also, Susan Boyle didn't win. She lost out to like diversity.
That's right. The people who did, I remember this.
Oh,
it was like a big like, because I think everyone at the time, I remember when this was happening when I was younger and everyone was like, oh, Susan Boyle's going to win. So like, there was a big effort to like make it so that she didn't win. Or like,
yeah,
right.
Opinion. This is when people gave a shit about reality TV.
Yeah.
Now life is the reality TV. We don't need this shit. We are like,
just log on to our fucking Twitter and you get to see reality TV.
Where's Susan Boyle now? Hopefully doing well for herself, but no one's talking about her.
I would like to go back to the times when we could just shit on reality TV and that just have like zero effect on our lives.
Yeah.
That's the good old days for me.
This episode is sponsored by Manscaped.
Splish, splash. I was taking a bath and I noticed I have beautiful balls.
You do, Connor. You do.
Our friends at Manscaped TM, the global leader in below-the-waist hygiene, are turning men's shower dreams into their favorite routine with the all-new Ultra Premium Collection.
Damn.
This all-in-one hygiene skin and hair bundle is designed to upgrade the everyday man's shower routine from head to toe. Ooh. Your skin, hair, and balls deserve this. Save big by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TRASHTASTE.
So Manscaped recently just released a deodorant, and I gotta say, guys, this is what a Sigma male smells
like. Oh my gosh.
Did you know as well, gentlemen, that Manscaped has started doing lip balms as well. Ooh. Which is good because especially during like the winter time in Japan, the air is very, very dry and I get chapped lips like crazy. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TRASHTASTE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with our code TRASHTASTE at manscaped.com. It's time to get wet and clean with your new Manscaped shower routine.
This bundle will change your life. Back these to the nuts. Episode.
Have you ever thought about going on a show like that? Or
that's a great question, Jerry. Yeah, no. A part of me is like, okay, I saw a guy on YouTube. I think I showed you guys. He went on a show playing a character and then like just making fun of the whole process and like with secret camera and stuff showing it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, but then I think the show took everything down.
Oh, yeah.
But it was very
interesting. Because he signed the contract.
He had to sign the contract to get on.
Yeah.
But a part of me has thought, oh, I wonder if I made up a storyline and I really committed to it, how easy would it be to get on TV? And do it? I think it would be pretty easy. Which comedian did this? A British one did it, didn't he?
Did he?
I wouldn't put it past British comedians.
Which one was it? Fuck. He made up like a storyline about, I think it was, which comedian was it? Was it British comedian who went on Britain's Got Talent. And it was, there was a, like, I don't want to say the storyline in case I'm wrong.
Daliso Chabonda? Oh, hold on, let me Google. Let me do a bit more.
Not sure.
Give us a sec.
British comedian.
He did like, he made it so that like his, I think his backstory is that he's like a Holocaust survivor or something.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. Or something like Jewish or something. I remember it was like that.
Well, while he's searching, I'll add on to the conversation. Sure. But yeah, like, I don't know why people would want to go on reality TV shows now when you can just post yourself up on YouTube. I feel like that need to like have your 5 seconds of fame is kind of like, that need is like kind of disappearing because at any moment in time you post a TikTok, you can get like a few million views.
Well,
just like out of complete chance, right?
Yeah. Well, reality TV has figured this out. That's why they often recruit people on social media.
Yeah.
They go on social media and like DM them like, hey, we're from this Britain's Got Talent. Would you be interested in auditioning? We can guarantee you to get to like the second judges or something.
Sneaky motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Have you not watched like clips of the talent shows recently?
I haven't actually.
It feels less like a talent show and more like, hey, because there's people who are like from all over the world, like American and Canadian. It just seems like they're just getting anyone who does anything interesting to come on.
And who has a compelling story, supposedly.
Yeah, it's more like they're less so a talent show of the people and more a talent show to just amuse the people where they just get acts from across the world.
And then
just loosely tie together a story.
It's the real YouTube Rewind now, since YouTube Rewind isn't a thing anymore.
The talented people rewind.
Yeah.
I'll have to find it after.
Okay. But what was the story then? So he made up that he was a Holocaust victim.
Can I have your phone? I can try and Google it. Okay. I might remember. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Lee Nelson. Yeah, it was by Channel 4.
What?
It was this one. Look at the thumbnail.
Oh my God, wow.
And I think he made up a fake storyline about being a rabbi and something and then whatnot, and Channel 4 posted it. It was part of like Balls of Steel, I think.
Balls of Steel, yeah.
Oh, I remember Balls of Steel. I didn't even know that was still going on.
Jeez.
It's not, this is from a while back.
Oh, okay.
I remember he made up some story about being a Hebrew rabbi and playing a bunch of generic sympathy cards.
And
it was really easy for him to get on.
Yeah.
And then I think he got to the live show. I can't remember what happened exactly. I think it then came out or something.
Yeah.
But it was just like showing how easy it is to fake stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because I haven't watched much reality TV show, not like much like of these talent shows, I should say, as much as I used to. Because before, like, it felt like everyone was talking about it, especially when you live in
England. It was like inescapable.
Yeah, everyone was talking about, who's going to win Britain's Got Talent or X Factor. And now it just feels like, I don't know if it's just my social circle has changed or if the viewership has genuinely just had a sharp drop off. But like, I rarely hear anyone talking about these big talent shows anymore.
No one cares.
Because no one really, like the demographic of watching TV now is just completely shifted, I feel.
TV is just background noise now.
Yeah.
That's it. No one actually gives a shit about what's going on TV.
Yeah, like I feel, you know.
At least people under 40.
Yeah, like I feel like people nowadays would rather, well, obviously would rather get on a fucking Mr. Beast video or something.
Oh, you know? Yeah, definitely.
You know, it is weird, actually. I had this thought the other day where...
That's the new, like, America's Got Talent. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I did have this thought the other day, and correct me if I've already talked about this on the podcast, because I can't remember if I have or not. But it feels like YouTube, in a sense, has, like, because the internet moves so fast, YouTube has become the new TV, and it's almost like TikTok that's become the new YouTube, in a sense, where TikTok is this big rising piece of of media. And like, remember back in the day where every YouTuber, like you know you've made it as a YouTuber if you could appear on TV, if you could appear on old media.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it feels like every TikToker is trying to make a name for themselves on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's like YouTube that is the established media and the established platform.
Yeah. I definitely think so, yeah. Just like another transition of, just weird. I don't know. But like at the same time as well, it's like almost, there's a lot of YouTubers now doing the opposite where they're trying to jump onto TikTok now and making a name for themselves there because they think, you know, it's the whole grass is greener on the other side concept, right? Where it's like, which is the real main income now?
How many YouTubers do you know? Because I don't know many aside from, I think Hank Green's the only one I've seen a lot on like TikTok and like YouTube shorts.
He's really fun to watch.
Hank Green is moving away from TikTok to
he's going to like Instagram shorts or whatever the thing now, isn't it?
I've seen fucking Ray William Johnson on TikTok a lot.
Oh my God. Seeing Ray William Johnson just like seeing
Ray William Johnson do Equals 3 content on TikTok is like insane to me.
It's so weird because it is literally just like Equals 3 content, right?
It's just like, this is the shit he was making 15 years ago on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
And like all these like new gen kids are just like, hey, have you heard of this like hilarious, like new wacky guy called Ray William Johnson?
Anyone's calling it hilarious.
Well, I mean, it's making numbers though.
I know.
Yeah, surprisingly.
A lot of things make numbers on TikTok that are shit.
Oh yeah, of course. But
I'm saying his is shit, but I mean.
Yeah.
Are you saying it's just okay?
It's mid.
Ray William Johnson.
7 out of 10? Is it actual mid or, you know, is it like 5 out of 10?
It's mid. The most mid content on TikTok, Ray William Johnson. But hey, if you'd like to support the show, then go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/trashtaste. Also follow us on Twitter, send us some memes in the subreddit, and if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify.
To next week where we shit and fart everywhere.
Bye.
Bye.